time, folks!
Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. The show is overtime, coming at you live right now at 6:02 on your Tuesday. Beautiful day out there in East Tennessee. I hope y'all are having a chance to enjoy that. If you're just getting off work, or you got off work recently, or if you're about to, hang in there. You're going to make it, and the week will keep on rolling along, and we will roll on up until 8 o'clock tonight. Glad to be with you all here on Fox Sports Knoxville. I'm your host, Tanner Carson. I got Daniel Bratman, DB, to my left, making a special Tuesday evening appearance. Got the night off work, and he's able to be in here on consecutive days for the first time, I think, in
a while.
Half a
long
year.
Time. It's been nice. Like his first semester, or how's, last semester.
How's it feel to be in here on a Tuesday with the rest of us common
feels
people?
Feels good. I'm amped.
Yeah, good to have you here for 2 days in a row. Something that usually doesn't happen. I was too used to you being here in here every night, and then this semester came along. We had to mix things up a little bit.
We were spoiled over summer.
Yeah, we definitely were, man. When it was just this three-man wolf pack right here, everybody else is gone, out of school, and now it's we had to make a bunch of bullpen moves, but it's good to have the regular wolf pack back. And the third member of that wolf pack is up in the producer's perch. It's Cole McCormick, per usual, up on the ones and twos, taking your phone calls on the Fan Run phone lines, making sure we run a smooth operation today. And gentlemen, didn't think we'd really have any, we were really going to have this one particular press conference be the number one topic of discussion today, but the press conference happened, words were said, and the reaction to those words that were said, yeah, it's been great. It's been just another day here in Knoxville. So what the deal was going to be, it was going to be at first you had Philip Fulmer's going to have a press conference discussing Rick Barnes's extension, discussing retaining men's basketball coach Rick Barnes, and Rick Barnes and new assistant coach Kim English were going to have a press conference. Barnes was going to introduce English, talk about his background a lot, and what he's going to bring to the coaching staff. And then, of course, Barnes was going to answer questions about the UCLA pursuit of him, about him signing that raise with Tennessee, turning down the Bruins, and now becoming the third highest paid coach in the country here. And I'll give Rick Barnes this one thing, man. And this is the if you can sum up his press conference, and if you can sum up his answers into one word. Actually, no, I'm going to use two words. Brutally honest. Because it wasn't just honest. It was brutally honest. I guess we'll give him that. He didn't hold any punches. He didn't sugarcoat anything. Paraphrasing the whole big theme of the day, basically, yeah, I wanted to go to UCLA, and if they didn't screw up on the whole buyout front, if they didn't conduct such a dumpster fire of a coaching search, I'd be in Los Angeles right now.
Yeah, yikes.
Not an exact quote, but that's pretty much what he said. That is pretty much what he said. We're going to have some audio. I'm going to have to get it in here into the system here in a little bit, so we'll play the direct audio from Barnes in segment number two here. But yeah, he said he woke up on Monday, this being last Monday, where, man, we spent the whole day sweating bullets. The report first came out from Evan Daniels of 247 Sports on Sunday night that he was a serious contender to be the new UCLA head coach. And then we spent that whole Monday on pins and needles waiting to see, hey, when's this announcement going to be made? Announcement whether he's going to UCLA or an announcement that he's staying. Of course, it took all day, but about 10 o'clock or so, it was officially announced that he would, in fact, be staying. Rick Barnes would. But Barnes said in the press conference today, he woke up last Monday So he woke up just 8 days ago saying that he had a strong feeling that he would be leaving for Los Angeles. He really thought it was going to happen. This is what Bourne said in, quote, "There was one time on my mind where I really thought that that was what would happen. I remember the last time I prayed about it and asked God for total clarity, and I said, quote, this is what's got to happen. And they came back and said, we can't work this out. It said, clearly you were meant to be at Tennessee, and that's where we will be. It got to that point where I felt like my prayer had been answered, and that's all I can tell you. Once it happened, I called the people I needed to call, and I said, I'm staying at Tennessee, and I haven't looked back."
Okay.
All right.
A lot of...
got a lot of backlash for that.
Yeah. Understatement here. Like I said, we'll play direct audio coming up in the next segment here, just because the system's trying to just completely mess with us here today. But we'll get that situated, though. But, yeah, overall message of what Barnes was saying was, you know what? You could have worked out the buyout issue. If it would have made sense from a financial standpoint, I'm going out to Westwood. And here's the thing. I tweeted this, too. I tweeted something similar. We all really knew from what was reported that, yeah, that was his mindset. So that doesn't shock us to hear it. What did shock me is the fact that he actually said it.
Yeah.
He actually did said it. We know what's on your mind, man. We know that you coveted that job. We know that when you were in your youth, when you were growing up, when you were just getting into coaching, man, UCLA, that was it, man. That was the destination. That was the gold standard when it came to college basketball. John Wooden's UCLA. UCLA won 10 national championships under Wooden. Won another national championship in 1995. They went to 3 Final Fours under Ben Howland a decade ago. So, yeah, that's one of those gold standard jobs in college basketball. The thing is, and you can make comparisons to – you want to make football comparisons? I think Tennessee football. I think of Nebraska football. It's not been that recently. Yes, it's a program that has a long history. It's a program that has a long lineage, a lot of proud tradition. But, yeah, that's not what a lot of people think of UCLA recently. But, hey, Barnes was one of those people. I mean, that, face it, because of his age, like, he does remember when they were like that. So that was probably going to be the only place where he would have left Tennessee for. He wanted to go to a blue blood institution. He wanted to see if the last thing he can do in his career before he retires was turn around a program like that. But UCLA, they don't know how buyouts work. Apparently, they didn't know how Jamie Dixon's worked at TCU. They weren't going to pay that, and they really didn't want to pay all Rick Barnes' $5 million buyout. And also, from the financial standpoint, too, Barnes probably realized, okay, after taxes and everything, yeah, I'm making more
money.
Making a lot more money here, even if I take a raise at UCLA. So then came to discussions with Fulmer, and then Randy Boyd got into the discussions as well about, you know, being paid what Barnes thought he should be worth. And give credit to Tennessee. They didn't lowball an offer this time. They paid money. They spent a good amount of money to keep a coach. They spent a good amount of money on athletics. You know, we applauded them for that last week. But with all that being said, we know all that, though. Man, this is something else, and especially, you know, it happening right here. A coach being this honest about his intention to say, hey, I was going to take another job. I mean, I'm not anymore. I'm here. I'm going to be here for, you know, the immediate future. In the near future, I'm going to be here. But, yeah, I almost was somewhere else last week. So I know a lot of people appreciate the honesty. At least he's not lying. I don't.
That's probably something he should have kept to himself.
But here's the thing. And I don't have a me personally, him being honest, I don't have a problem with him being honest. I don't have a problem with Rick Barnes' honesty. The problem I had is the fact that him being honest was going to open up this can of worms.
Yeah.
And I knew it immediately. I could not believe those quotes I was reading. I'm like, damn, I'm not shocked that he felt that way. I'm shocked that he's saying this. And then all today, man, backlash has been strong from some people. Some people have felt like Barnes pulled an old heel turn on him. And now they're... And some have changed their opinion on Barnes very strongly. Others, not really changed all that much. But I'm interested to read the room right here, guys. Where do you all stand on this? Because my biggest problem is the fact that he said this, and he probably, like, ignorantly did not know the type of storm this would cause. Or maybe he did, he just doesn't care. Maybe he just doesn't care what people think.
I listened to some footage of it, and I was listening, and my first reaction was he probably should have shut his mouth 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I'm like, buddy, you're just digging yourself a deeper hole here. I mean, I'm glad he's here, obviously. I appreciate his honesty. Would I have come out and said what Rick Barnes said if I was in his position? Probably not. Probably not, knowing how Vol Twitter is and how Vol fans and how vicious they can be. I probably would have kept my mouth shut.
I think the whole thing is absolutely ridiculous. The people that are upset that he was honest, I think, are ridiculous. I'm kind of with you, Tanner. I was shocked that he actually said it. We knew almost 100% what was going down, what actually happened, but I never thought...
Tuesday, it was going around Twitter. It was like, he's leaving.
Yeah.
He's gone. Everyone, prepare yourselves.
He would have been if they would have paid the buyout. Yeah. I mean, he said it.
So he's telling us nothing we didn't know, but at the same time, now we got it on record. We had it in front of God and everybody at that press conference that, yeah, I wanted to leave.
Yeah.
I wanted to leave. I'm here right now, but hey, I wanted to leave. And it's just another reminder that this is a business right here. Maybe, and I got in a conversation with a good caller, T-Carp. T-Carp, if you're listening, shout out to you. I responded to him on Twitter. He replied to one of my quote tweets about one of Barnes's quotes about the UCLA job. And I told him, I said, what this is just going to be a lesson for everybody is you can be a fan of the coach yet. I'm still a fan of the job Rick Barnes has done. Okay?
You have to be.
Because like he's, for the most part, outside of two straight early exits in the tournament, he's done a damn good job developing this program. He's done a damn fine job developing players. He's got asses in seats. He's basically done what he was paid for up to this point. Now, he's going to have to try to prove he's worth almost $5 million per year.
Yeah.
But right now, I haven't had a gigantic overall problem with Rick Barnes at Tennessee. Did I have a problem with losing to Purdue in the Sweet 16? Yes. Did I have a problem with almost having a historic collapse against Iowa? Yes. Did I have a problem with this being one of the best teams in school history and having no banners to show for it?
Absolutely.
Yes. But overall...
He's done a great job.
He's fine. Overall, it's better than him taking that UCLA job and us having to get some mid-major coach, having to get some up-and-comer, pay him $3 million a year. I hope it works this time. Hope you're not doing this again 3 years down the road. I overall have no problem. But, man, he didn't. Going back to the original point, though, I told T-Carp, you can be fans of coaches. You can be huge fans of players and everything. You have to be careful about putting them up on a gigantic pedestal because they're human like the rest of us. They have their own personal interests like the rest of us. And I guarantee you that for the majority of them, coaches and players, probably coaches especially, as far as like the place they're at right now and like Tennessee, the Volunteers, this university, this area, more often than not, they don't care as much as you do, the fans. They don't. Don't put them on this huge pedestal. You're going to get let down when stuff like this happens, when you have to see the harsh reality that this is a business, that was a business decision.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, in my opinion, this is a non-story. It really is. We're mad because he was honest. We're mad because we were right as a fan base. I mean, you're telling me – I don't even want to talk about it. But you're telling me if somebody offered you your dream job, the job you've wanted forever growing up, graduating college, working your way up the ladder, somebody comes to you with your dream job, you're not going to think about it and listen and want to go? I mean, are you really going to say no?
It's like any other potential thing when a prospective employer contacts you, especially if you have to make a move, you think about it. You factor everything into it. It's no different for coaches.
And the fact of the matter is he decided to stay. Yes, it was because at UCLA dropped the ball. But
he's
here. Fact of the matter is, yes, he's here. He's going to be the Tennessee Volunteers head men's basketball coach next season. With Josiah James coming in, with DJ Burns coming off the red shirt. Fact of the matter is, he's here. And he's going to be this team's coach.
I think now that Barnes has he's got this raise and this extension, I mean, I feel like he doesn't really care what he said today, if it really ruffled some feathers, because he's making almost $5 million a year. He's got a guaranteed contract for the next, 4-year extension or whatever it was. Who cares? He's not going anywhere. He was number one for a month. He's like, who cares what these little fans online think? It's just the whole thing to me is absolutely ridiculous.
The thing about it is, though, Cole, is that he opened himself up to this, though, when, like, we know. People, like, after this whole UCLA situation was behind us in the first place last week, you had people whose minds were already made up that, oh, they don't like Barnes anymore, that he even entertained this. Yada, yada, yada. What I don't think he did – I don't think Rick did himself any favors today as far as, like, anything in PR category here, because the ultimate thing is he's going to be here, and if he keeps winning and, you know, winning as in staying in the top half of the SEC, especially if you're going to lose a lot this next season's team, but then continue to develop the current crop of talent you have, continue to make the tournament, continue to be worth a damn, basically.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you continue to do that, it's going to be okay. But I guarantee you, if something catastrophic happens next year as far as the failure goes, if you especially miss the tournament next year, this is immediately going to get brought back up. Yeah, the damn pitchforks, the torches are going to
be. That's what I was
going
to say. I guarantee you by the start of next season, this is all forgotten about. And then,
relaying
on your point, if something drastic would happen that we don't make the tournament for whatever reason, here come the pitchforks in the fire.
865-546-8200, 546-8200. Calling the Fan Run phone lines to weigh in on Barnes' press conference today, the situation moving forward. I mean, it's not really a real situation. I shouldn't use the term like that, but it's become a little bit of a situation today.
I think we're so used to being lied to, we don't know how to take the truth.
You did have Butch lie to you.
I mean, because he was honest, and that's what we're mad about. We're mad that a coach told us the truth.
And I'm going to reiterate once again, I'm not mad that he was honest. I'm just frustrated in the fact that he didn't have to come out and say this, because now it's just it didn't do anybody any favors. It's only going to create a lot more angst amongst the fan base. And that's what we've seen happen today. We're going to have the Barnes audio, his words himself on the UCLA job. Come up on the other side here. Once again, 865-546-8200. The Hop on here, weigh in. Got a fantastic program lined up for you today here on Overtime. Be with you up until 8 o'clock. Hit the first break of the program. Be back on the other side. You're listening to Overtime here on Fan Run Radio. We got the audio, an audio snippet of Rick Barnes' press conference today over on campus, him discussing the UCLA job. Listen to yourself, be your own judge, and I mean, hey, like I said, there is two words to describe today's presser, brutally honest. So here we go, gonna go ahead and play it.
When the whole situation came up with UCLA, the thing that first went into my mind was the fact that me growing up in UCLA basketball, you know, back when I was in the eighth grade, my mother and a friend of our family spent $56 to send me to Campbell College basketball camp, which was the oldest camp in the country, which still is the oldest basketball camp in the country. And the reason I wanted to go to that camp was John Wooden and Mr. Pete Maravich were the two featured people there. And so that's the reason I wanted to go. And I can remember staying up back in the late 60s when UCLA started doing their games at coming on late at night with Dickie and Bird. And then obviously when I went to college, my college coach also worked at Campbell College basketball camp through all the years with Coach Wooden, and we ran a portion of the UCLA offense. And so my really intrigued with the job when they called, which I was totally surprised, to be quite honest with you, and was the fact that I've got so much respect for UCLA basketball and what it meant to me growing up. And that was really the sole reason that it all got started. It was just that the intrigue with the basketball player. And with Cam, you know, I really got to spend a lot of time with him. What was it, two, three years ago at Augusta at the Peace Jam? And we spent a lot of time together, and with Cam and I and Coach Schwartz. And I knew from that day that if I ever had the opportunity to hire him, if I had that opportunity, that he would be the guy that we would hire. And, you know, obviously I coached against him, and he didn't remind me until after he got the job that he beat us five times, and he held that card. But, But the fact is, you know what, he's already made an impact just in a few days being here with us. Beautiful family, has a daughter, has another child on the way here in, what, 5 weeks now?
Yeah.
And, there's no doubt as I've gone out, I was in Missouri last night at the United States Basketball Writer Banquet there at the Missouri Athletic Club, and I can't tell you how many people came up to me and told me that Cam Lingers was one of their all-time favorite Missouri Tigers. And so we're excited. I think the players, I can tell you, they're excited. And welcome to Rocky Top.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Mike, wrap.
And also, I talked a little bit about new assistant coach Kim English near the end there. I think it's a great hire, by the way, here. Here's some more about what Barnes had to say. This is specifically about the financial standpoint when it comes to the UCLA situation. He said, when you get down to a situation like that, it has to make sense from a financial standpoint. It does have to, and the bottom line is we just couldn't really work it out with the buyout in terms of what was going on to be that part of it. In the meantime, I told them I can't do anything until I talk to Tennessee because I said I'm not going to walk out of here and had not met with my team and walk out of here and had not met with the people here that have been really good to me. That's the way I felt about it, Barnes said. He continued and said, I'm going to make sure that this is done the right way because of the respect of what I feel for Tennessee and the people here. So there you go. About as truthfully as he could walk through that whole situation again.
Hmm. Okay. I have zero problems with everything he said. Absolute zero.
I know you don't have any problems with it. I know a lot of people also don't have a lot of problems with it. The ones that do, though... What type of effect is this going to have, you think, as far as fan support, attendance support, especially if this team takes a step back like they're supposed to, especially if Grant doesn't come back, and this team will take a big step if Grant Williams does not come back.
Mm-hmm.
If that happens, and there's some rough patches, and Tennessee ends up being about a bubble team, and a lot more people start to get restless here, ooh, how much division do you think this is going to cause? At least, like, between the fan base, and there's going to be a lot of animosity towards Rick Barnes, if that happens.
How much is it going to affect the team or the fan base?
Fan base. Fan base is what I'm asking. Fan base is, like, their stance towards Rick Barnes.
I'm sure a small percent it will affect the same people that are bothered by what he said today, the same people that didn't want to go to the orange and white game because we won 5 games last year. It'll be the same people that just like to hate. For the most part, though, for those of us who actually love the university and our teams, I don't think it'll have a huge effect. There's always going to be those that love to complain about everything to be heard, complain to be miserable. So there will be a little bit of that, but for the majority, I don't think it'll be a lot of – it won't change a lot.
What do we think, all of us now, about, okay, you're staying here, great. You got this raise, great. You're going to be the 3rd highest paid coach in all of college basketball. Great. Expectations, though. We already know that. Hey,
definitely not the Sweet 16.
It's not hard for any coach to take Tennessee to a Sweet 16. Konza Martin did it. Bruce Pearl did it all the time. Jerry Green did it. It's not hard to do. It's really not hard to do. Now you're getting paid this type of money. You're up there with the ones that have multiple national championships. Mm-hmm. You're up there getting paid with the ones who are always consistently going to Final Fours, or at the very least, if you haven't been to a Final Four in the last few years, talking about John Calipari, you're at least in the Elite Eight conversation. You're at least right there. And you're going to be in that national discussion. I know the expectation for Tennessee basketball is not, you know, Final Four every single year, but for Barnes getting paid that much money and – really, the main reason he got that much money from Philip Fulmer and the university is that's the price you had to pay to keep him. That's the price you had to pay to keep up sustainability. That's the price you had to pay to keep a consistent program going, to keep consistent tournament appearances. That's what you really paid for. You're not paying for 3-4 Final Fours in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
You're not paying for that. But at least with this type of paycheck he's getting right now, we talked about this a lot last week, but I'll bring up the same question again. With this payday, should the expectations be raised a little bit here?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. If you're going to be the third highest paid coach, Sweet 16 is not enough.
No.
Elite Eight, that's on the verge.
Here, at least Elite Eight. Yeah. At least consistently get to some Elite Eights.
You're making almost $5 million a year and you can't make the Elite Eight? No, I don't care where you are. It's unacceptable.
I know it. Yeah.
It has to be no more Sweet 16, no more getting bounced in the second round to a 11 seed. It has to be the Elite Eight or higher.
If you're getting beat in the tournament, at least get beat by a team that's, you know, as good as you are, better.
Yeah.
At least be getting to a team that's like, hey, we can understand. We can understand here. You can't be having any more just big disappointments like this.
Mm-hmm.
And surely, I mean, some will happen down the road.
It's March.
It just cannot be at a consistent level.
Absolutely. Look at Duke. I guarantee you there was not a single Duke Blue Devils fan who did not think that they were going to lose in the Elite Eight to Michigan State.
They all had them at least going to the Final Four.
Absolutely.
At the very least.
Absolutely.
You would have had to have been a fool, like, if you're a Duke fan to think that team wouldn't go into the Final Four. And then fell a little short. That's what they did. It's just you have to, if you're him in this team, continue to recruit an elite level. It's looking good for 2020, I think. You can land some great prospects. Great. You can afford a little bit of a in-between rebuilding here this coming season, as long as you get to the tournament. I think if Grant and Bone don't come back, and let's see what happens on the transfer market. Let's see if you're able to get if Bone does stay in the draft, if you're able to get Jalen Cohn to reclassify, get him on here. I know there's going to be a market for the Blackshear kid out of Virginia Tech. Who's an absolutely fantastic player. See what happens on the transfer market. See what you can add to the roster coming up next year. Whatever you add or don't add, I still think this should be a tournament team. Now, whether you're getting bounced in the first round or not, cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah.
But I still think this should be a tournament team next year at the very least. I can afford 1 year of that. That means, hey, recruit great, get a great roster coming in here for the 2020 season, and then let's ride again. Let's see what you're able to do with talent that you're finally able to recruit over here. Because if he's not able to, for Tennessee's standards, consistently win, then you know what? Rick Barnes just becomes a basketball version of Jim Harbaugh. That's exactly what he becomes.
Sure, yeah.
Overpaid dude who doesn't really deserve the paycheck he's making.
That's a good point.
I thought about that today. I'm like, damn, man, Michigan football's paying Jim Harbaugh a lot to never beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
Not make an appearance in the Big Ten championship game. I don't want to have that same type of mindset when it comes to thinking about Barnes a year or two down the road.
Yeah. No, that will be scary. Yeah.
Because will be scary. How much is Harbaugh making a year at Michigan? Is he making more than Saban still?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
His current salary, last year he made $7.5 million.
Wow.
Jim Harbaugh made $7.5 million for what?
Nothing, basically.
For what? Yeah, I don't.
We're getting close to making the college football playoff, then falling off.
He's making less than Saban now, but still.
Yeah, he made $8.3 million.
Yeah,
last year.
Yeah, but there's less than $1 million separating Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh. There's now not that much money separating Coach K and Rick Barnes.
Yeah, I mean, no. Coach Barnes is going to have to step his game up. There's no doubt about that. He has to. You're paid like one of the big boys. You got to play like one of the big boys.
And I think he understands that.
I would hope.
Barnes isn't wet behind the ears. Barnes has been in this game for a long time. I think he understands what's going to be expected of him now. Can he deliver?
We can only pray. We have
to pray. Praying's been the theme of the day today. But, yeah, we definitely got to send out some prayers. And then just hope everything falls into place. I just want to continue to recruit at least. Can we at least do that? And then you get the great players on this roster. You're going to have a much better chance to repeat the type of season you just had.
Yeah.
So just give me that. Can I get a Walker Kessler? Can I get a Jaden Springer? Hold on to Keon Johnson, which you should get.
Yeah. Cone reclassify. Can we get that?
Be very nice. Maybe get Blackshear. Blackshear make me feel really good if you got him from Virginia Tech, since his name is in the portal.
Sure.
Ooh, he's in the portal. Big fan of that. Just win, Rick. Just win. And the natives will not even remember what you said today. That's all there is to it. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. Hit another short break and back more overtime on the way. You are listening to Fox Sports Knoxville. Back on overtime, Tennessee baseball back underway. The Fighting Voltellos back in the top 25, currently ranked number 22. I believe that is a USA Today ranking because I know college baseball uses like five different rankings.
Yeah, it's odd.
There's like USA Today, which is also the coaches' poll. And they got like D1 baseball. There's like the ESPN poll. Some others I can't think of. But I always go with the one that has the balls the highest. So let's go with this one, 22. Bama the second over at Lindsey Nelson. Some midweek baseball going on. Vols actually down 1-0 to Morehead State. Morehead State came into Knoxville last year and beat the Vols.
They did.
In a midweek game. Wasn't there a... Am I misremembering this? There was something that got chippy. There wasn't a fight, was there?
I don't know.
Like a slide?
I don't know. Let's look it up.
Slide into second or something? I know what you're talking about.
I think Bratton might be right. I think there was something.
There was
like
a rough slide into second, and that kind of sparked a little fuse.
Yeah, but right now it looks like all is peaceful, beautiful day out there on the diamond.
It really is
absolutely beautiful. On that.
You guys a fan of the turf?
Yes,
I wasn't at first. I like it now.
Big fan.
I'm a big proprietor that baseball should be played on dirt.
Now, I'm with you.
But also like the TriStar out there. So
I just think it looks real good out there.
I can forgive it.
I think the field looks fantastic.
I can forgive it.
I like that the mound isn't turf. You can tell that is dirt.
And there's another TriStar in the mound, too. Yeah. I haven't really noticed that TriStar in the back of the mound,
they
either.
They change, like, every other game. Sometimes it's, like, the state outline. Sometimes it's a tee, so.
Okay, that's actually pretty cool.
Grounds crew
that.
Keeping it fresh.
Baseball
they
expert.
They got to do something now that there's no grass out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's all they do. Exactly. It's like, well, I guess we'll make this mound very
Somebody
nice.
Get out the stencil for the TriStar.
We'll make the mound very nice. But, yeah, Vols trying to get back in front against the Morehead State Eagles. Cole, have you found out what happened last year?
I just came across it. Hang on. Let me see. Title doesn't tell me a whole lot.
Okay, well, I'll let you look into that. While you do that, going back to Tennessee basketball, I had some news that the university officially announced today. Our own Trey Wallace was on this, too, but the university made it official today. Lamonte Turner once again had another shoulder surgery today. He had another procedure to address problems with his left, which is his non-shooting shoulder. So he had the procedure earlier in the season. It's going to have another one this offseason. Hopefully it clears up any would-be lingering issues with shooting motion and things of that nature there. Because he's one of your big three-point shooters. Kind of important for him to have a really good shooting motion. They announced it today. The official men's basketball Twitter account said this. Rising senior guard Lamonte Turner underwent an arthroscopic procedure on his left shoulder today to address lingering issues from this past season. His activity will be limited for several weeks. Of course, Lamonte Turner in his time at Tennessee, he has had at least one procedure on each of his shoulders. During his time at Tennessee this season, while he was still trying to recover from issues in one of them, he missed 13 games, and it took him a minute to really get back into the swing of things, too. But
I'm glad it's happening now.
Overcame the issues, yeah, happening right now. And of course, that's probably what they told him after he had the first procedure, is that, hey, this is going to have to be addressed sometime down the road, but we're going to at least get you good enough to get you through the rest of the season. You know, football players do this all the time.
Absolutely.
They had the little minor stuff, and you go back there to you either go to like your own team doctors, team trainers. They'll tell you the same thing. You go to like a third party type of clinic deal, and they'll tell you the same type of thing that, hey, as soon as the season's over, let's get this straightened out so it doesn't linger on to next season here. I'm not worried about this. I think it's good that they finally got this out of the way. Should be good to go. Lamonte Turner could be, depending on who or who doesn't come back, could be your de facto head honcho, could be your de facto leader out there on the court. Certainly expected to start next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, that man could be your starting point guard, at least in a lot of games. Don't know exactly how they're going to do the whole deal with him and Josiah James, because James is a combo guard. So he can play either at the one or two, but I would think you would rather have Lamonte Turner being your main ball handler out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I agree with that.
Not worry about Lamonte Turner. Our own Trey Wallace did also add on his tweet about Lamonte Turner's surgery that Tennessee Athletics has basically developed a pipeline to the Andrews Orthopedic offices in both Birmingham, Alabama, and there's also the other one, Pensacola, Florida. The one Pensacola is, of course, where Darren Kirkland Jr. has been for a while trying to get his knee issue situated. So, hey, good thing they're sending him down to Andrews. That's the best in the country when it comes to sports orthopedic medicine.
Yeah.
And hopefully
done surgeries on multiple pro athletes.
Multiple. Yeah, and like isn't James Andrews, he's like the official team doctor for Alabama and Auburn.
Did not know that.
He has an office in Birmingham too, as well as Pensacola. Yeah.
Birmingham and Pensacola. He's worked on about anyone you can think of who's had issues like that.
You know, so. It's interesting that he has those two offices, but Tennessee still sends our athletes to Pensacola rather than going to Birmingham. I wonder why that is. I think it's interesting. I mean, Birmingham's a lot closer.
I'd rather go to Florida.
I mean, I would too. I get with from that aspect, but, I mean, one's a couple hours away. Hmm. Pensacola is a lot hours away. I don't know.
I don't know how they really make those decisions. But, Cole, have you found out exactly what happened?
No.
Great.
I don't think anybody reported on it last year.
So there was some type of incident, some things got chippy in last year's Tennessee-Moorhead State game.
I could not find a single thing on it.
Okay, then. Well, it was some type of incident we don't know about. I'm sort of discussing some type of call here.
It appeared that Moorhead State's shortstop did not tag second before he threw to first in order to force a double play. So I believe that's what they are going to take a look at real quick.
Right now, let's see.
It kind of seems like he didn't. See, he did. He nicked it.
Yeah, he did. Okay. Yeah, he got it.
Good play by him.
Bottom of the second right now as it stands, one out and one on for the Vols. Keep giving you updates on that one if anything changes here. But for right now, we're going to hit another break. Be back to wrap up the first hour of overtime on this Tuesday, 865-546-8200, 546-8200 to hop on the Fan Run phone lines. Cole will greet you as you call in. But for right now, overtime's hitting a break. Be with you on the other side.
Klay Thompson, Draymond, and Steph Curry, all three of them, I didn't see them on the floor a lot. It was just KD, saw Quinn Cook, Andrew Bogut out there. Of course, losing DeMarcus Cousins to a quad injury hurt them. But I didn't see any of the Golden State Warriors' original big three out there, which was kind of shocking to me. Of course, I mean, they were up 30. And
usually teams will get complacent when you're up that much, but, man, they got hella complacent, especially when the Clippers started still digging into that lead here. And I just never remembered a few seconds ago to start the podcast, so we just missed the whole intro to that. You can miss my McKinney Team live read. Guys, just listen to the podcast. Go check out the McKinney Team with Keller Williams. They are awesome. ZillaKnoxville.com. There we go. I think I made up for it. Yeah, 31 points, though. And Twitter, have fun with it.
Of course.
See, this is why I enjoy things like this happening, especially the NBA, because Twitter is going to be all over it. All over it.
Yeah.
Like mosquitoes and moss to a flame. They're going to be all over it for the fact that what was Golden State previously known for blowing? A 3-1 lead to the Cavs.
Yep.
What did they blow last night? A 31 point lead.
Ooh.
The 3-1 follows them wherever they may roam.
Ooh.
It blows my mind that this actually happened last night.
Yeah.
31 points.
Clippers aren't great. They're
not. No, they're really not.
Golden State, great. I'd love to see it. I did.
Steph Curry goes 2 of 9 in the fourth quarter. Man, clutch Steph Curry. You and me, everybody listening to this program right now, just a reminder, you have as many finals MVPs as Steph Curry has.
Let's go.
Just a quick reminder for that right now.
Under Armour, cut the check.
I used to not hate the Warriors. I kind of hate the Warriors.
I'm kind
of
indifferent.
I'm just
kind
of tired
of
it.
I guess I don't pay attention to the NBA and care about it enough to really hate them. I can see where it can come from. I'm just kind of indifferent.
Nah. DB, where do you stand on the Warriors?
When they added Boogie, I was like, all right, guys, this is kind of getting absurd.
Speaking of Boogie, though.
I've always been a big Draymond Green guy just because it makes all my friends mad.
But speaking of Boogie, suffered an injury last night. The worst that they feared happened. DeMarcus Cousins does have a torn quad, out pretty much for the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yikes. I mean, they still got Steph and Klay and KD and
Draymond.
Bunch of all-stars.
And a bunch of clutch players on the bench. Yeah. But, hey, you never know who they might face in the finals. Maybe DeMarcus Cousins would have been a pretty key player in a close game, and now they don't have that. Who knows? Who knows? But I'm definitely here for all the memes last night. I'm here for Clippers owner Steve Ballmer, one of the founders of Microsoft. I'm here for him just losing his ever-loving crap in the middle of the common people. Ballmer gets into those games, man. His face gets all red and sweaty. He just starts flailing around everywhere. You just gotta remember, it's like, man, that's a billionaire.
That's a big win for the Clippers. It's hard to win at Oracle in the postseason. I still don't think the Clippers are gonna win this series, but it's a step in the right direction.
No, absolutely not. They're not going to do that. But hey, the Warriors, if it bleeds, we can kill it. If it bleeds, they bled last night.
That's a good little saying.
Is that a Game of Thrones thing?
No, that's
like I'm not there yet in the show.
If it bleeds, we can kill. I think that's Predator.
You have to mute that on Twitter too, DB.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Yeah. That is a quote from Predator, the original Predator, 1987, with Arnie. I forgot who else was in that movie with Arnold, but yeah, that is a Predator quote. Baseball's on the board, tied 1-1 with Morehead State. Bottom of the second, 2 out. One on right now for the Vols. Got a runner in scoring position. Let's see if the Voltels can crack this thing wide open here. Am I running out of time, Cole?
You got some time.
I think I am here. But, yeah, tied up with Morehead State here. Let's hope everything get opened up for the Tony Voltellos, the Fighting Voltellos, out in the diamond at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. Be back on the other side with hour number 2 of overtime. Stick with us.
Where no one ever goes. Put it in your pantry with your cupcakes. It's a little secret, just a robbery.